Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
All right, as I wrote in the Tampa Bay Times, the Bucs' hopeful run to that second straight Super Bowl title, it now has a discernible limp. Bad news for the Bucs. Chris Godwin, their leading receiver, their franchise player, is going to miss the remainder of the season. He is done for the year. MRIs revealed a torn ACL that he sustained in Sunday night's 9-0 loss to the Saints. Bruce Arians announced that bad news on, I guess it was Monday afternoon. Monday morning, there were reports that it looked like Godwin may have gotten out of this, that he just had a sprained MCL, but that was before they had had the MRI and consulted with doctors, and it is indeed a torn ACL, which is just awful, right? Not just for the, forget the football team for a second. It's obviously going to hurt the Bucs because he's their leading receiver and all of that stuff. But, man, when you talk about a guy that has, you know, a third-round pick that, you know, made himself, you know, a number one receiver in this league, even though he plays opposite Mike Evans, became a franchise player, and the Bucs could franchise him again, or he could become a free agent. To have this injury at this time in his career is heartbreaking, and something that could alter his career. I mean, this is the, you know, this is the discussion we probably need to have, Steve Versnick, because even though the hit that he sustained from P.J. Williams with the Saints was legal, it's one that, you know, receivers would just as soon get hit in the shoulders and the head area than you have to go down low and target their legs. And this is why, because they make their money with their legs. And I'm not minimizing concussion risks and, you know, defenseless receivers and all of that. I'm just saying, you know, for guys to, you know, to expose their knees this way because you can't hit them anywhere is problematic. And it could cost Chris Godwin, who knows, many millions of dollars.
Chris Collinsworth brought it up on Sunday Night Football about the, you know, look, guys, you know, would rather be hit in the head or the neck because it's their legs that provide their living for them.
Yeah.
If they can't run, if they don't have that speed, they've got nothing. And you know, the NFL has taken the head hits out of the game, and rightfully so, and I get what they're doing. But the other part of that is they've made the low hits more prevalent because of that. But the other part, and Chris Collinsworth brought this up too, is when you've got tight ends at 260, 270, 280 running down the field, these defensive backs can't tackle them without going low. And so you've got two factors. You've got one, you're not allowed to hit up high.
Mm-hmm.
But good luck with these small DBs trying to tackle these tight ends that are huge now. And so these low hits are becoming more and more, and you see the you know what happened with Chris Godwin last night, and it's a shame. And you know, who knows what it's going to cost him. And we have a question from one of our frequent tweeters, Cognitive Dissonant, asking what are the Bucs going to do with him now? I mean, he's on the franchise tag. What if he can't play next year? Now, generally in ACL, I would imagine he could play by next season. Granted, I you know, it may depend on how serious it is, but usually it's, what, 8 to 9 months?
It's about a 9 month, 9 month rehab. And that when I say rehab, that's not football. Like, that's not football related. That's just to get strength in the leg, and you know, there's going to be a certain amount of atrophy anytime you're casted like that as you are with an ACL. You know, it's a slow process. So you lose muscle density. You know, you've got to go back and strengthen that leg, and then there's the whole process of once you're cleared for physical activity and running and things like that. You know, there's a mental hurdle that is enormous for these guys in football with any injury, but particularly for a receiver with his legs, right? And we saw this, I think, to a large degree with O.J. Howard this year and his Achilles. He has never looked completely right to me, even though he has fought through a lot of that mental block. But, you know, when you've been injured this way and you are going to have contact again, he's going to get hit again in the lower part of his body. And he's going to have to cut. And, you know, he's going to have, you know, a real mental block about how confident he is, you know, putting his foot in the ground hard, turning it, torquing his body on it, and, you know, making catches in traffic where guys can hit him below the waist. And it sounds like, well, you know, you're a football player, sure you can get past that. Well, it's not that easy because, you know, rehabbing 9 months every single day, right, from, you know, the post-op and all the swelling and the anti-inflammatories and, you know, things that you and I don't even think about. Sometimes having to drain the knee if you do too much. There's just a whole, you know, infection can be part of this at times. There's just a whole post-op situation. And then the rehab is painful. You know, you're trying to improve your range of motion. And it's a daily drip, drip, drip process, right? While the rest of your teammates are together and you're not. You're not part of them, you know, and you're not going to be part of the off season. You're not going to be, and because it happens so late in the year, I don't know if he's going to be ready by training camp. And the thing is, you know, free agency starts in March, right? Around the middle of March every year. And the new league year is upon us. And I don't doubt that the Bucks will have probably every intention of re-signing him or maybe even franchising him again, maybe. But what Chris Godwin has lost is leverage, you know. And what he's lost is opportunity to get that, you know, generational wealth, that, you know, $100 million contract, that, you know, $18 million a year for 5 years or whatever, 19, that he had earned because he was by far having his best season. You know, he was absolutely going to set the club's single season record for catches. He was 8 away from a 20-year record held by Keyshawn Johnson of 106. You know, he was about 200 yards away from, you know, his career high in yardage. And just the way he plays, right? And we can talk about what the impact is going to be to the football team because it's going to be devastating. Like, you know, I love Mike Evans, and what he has done is, you know, he's put together a Hall of Fame resume. He's probably, you know, barring injury, he's probably going to go over 1,000 yards again for the 8th straight year or whatever it is. And he's phenomenal in the red zone. He's got, you know, 11, 12 touchdowns already. But Mike Evans does not impact the run game the way Godwin does. I mean, Godwin in that slot receiver position is asked and willing and good at it, right? It's not just he's willing and he's also good at it. Cracking down on linebackers, cracking down on defensive linemen, guys much bigger than him, you know, creating space for guys like Leonard Fournette and others. It's just really hard. They're not going to be able to find anybody on that roster that can do that. They're not. And certainly Antonio Brown, you know, he's coming back, and in this situation without their top two receivers, the timing is optimum for that. But he's not Chris Godwin, and he doesn't play that same position. He's an outside receiver. He's a smallish guy. He's great in tight spaces, and he's certainly a quick twitch guy that they don't have, and he can get behind the defense because of his speed. But he's not going to do or do anything close that approximate really what Chris or Mike Evans does. So, you know, it's going to be a challenge, man. I mean, it's going to be a real challenge for them to try to win a Super Bowl without Chris or even go deep in the playoffs. You know, it just that was a – if you were going to throw a dart at that offense and say if you had to lose a guy for the year, you would pick a lot of players before you would get to Chris Godwin if you were ranking them by importance. And, you know, it's unfortunate. I feel bad for him.
Yeah, I think this – you know, the impact in the run game is the biggest – not, I shouldn't say the biggest loss, but it's the part of the game that no one talks about with him as much because he's such a good receiver and he's piling up the yards and the receptions this year, and Tom Brady really trusts him. But, it, you know, he like Gronk, both him and Godwin are so effective in blocking in the run game. And when you have skill players that do that, it makes your team so much better. And in that slot position, that's important. And, Tyler Johnson, Scotty Miller, I mean, they're just not as good at Godwin in doing that. And they're not going to be. Antonio Brown isn't. I mean, none of those guys are. And that's not really Antonio Brown's position. But, that's going to be a huge drop-off, and it's going to make Leonard Fournette, if he's healthy enough to go, Ronald Jones, Keyshawn Vaughn, whoever else is running the ball, it's going to make their jobs a lot harder.
No doubt, no doubt. And, as we're doing this podcast, there's also word that on a smaller scale, but a guy that's very important, a core special teams player, Patrick O'Connor, mm-hmm. He's also got a season-ending knee injury. Looks like a very serious, even more serious potentially than Chris Godwin's, because it involves not only the ACL, but the PCL and part of, and perhaps the MCL as well. So devastating knee injury for him. I can't even begin to think how you come back from that. But this game that the Saints played against the Bucs is going to have an impact for whatever is left of their season. And they did a pretty good job, not just from the injury standpoint of knocking out players, but they're now the number three seed in the NFC, because with three teams tied at 10-4, you go to a tiebreaker, which is conference record, and that gives it to Dallas, even though they beat Dallas. And so if Dallas wins out and the Bucs win out, Cardinals went out, I mean, it's going to end up being the Bucs with the third seed.
Well, we're taping this before Monday night's game where the Rams play. So the Rams could actually pass the Cardinals tonight, too.
They could pass the Cardinals and get their 10th win. So in that situation, in a multiple-team situation, you look at conference record, and the Bucs do not have it over at least the Cowboys for now. And so, they need the Cowboys to lose one game. Probably right now as we speak, the Cardinals to lose one game, and they would have to win out, and that would give them the number two seed. The one seed is long gone. I mean, I don't see Green Bay, losing two games out of their final three. They may not lose any games out of their three. So I think that whoever wins the NFC title is probably going to have to do it at Lambeau Field again, which is not an easy task, and certainly won't be this year with fans and a full stadium and most likely a day that's not as bomb as the 33 or 34 degree day that the Bucs had, back in February. So, this loss and loss of players just overall had an enormous impact on this season, this one game. And of course it was the Saints, because the Saints own the Bucs, and they own Tom Brady too. They do. And it's because they have the type of defense and the type of players, really good players at every level, that can affect Brady in so many ways. And, when you got corners like Marshawn Lattimore that can play man coverage on the outside, you just leave him out there, and he's going to compete for every single ball you throw to Mike Evans as a combat catch. When you can play cover two, but then also just rush four, and with those four guys, like Cam Jordan and those guys, be able to get home on the pass rush, affect the passer with just by rushing four, then your underneath coverage is really good too. So at every level where you're trying to, get guys open, it's a problem. And, Tom Brady had to make some really tight throws. Guys didn't come up with the plays. I mean, Gronk had his worst day, I think, since he's been here, certainly, with just two catches, 11 targets, four or five drop passes, I think, or balls that I've seen him catch before. And the guys that came off the bench, they were bad, right? They didn't do anything. Scotty Miller didn't do much. Tyler Johnson didn't do much. He had a drop as well. We saw nothing from Jalen Darden. So they've got problems. I mean, you get Brown back, sure. What kind of shape is he in? He hasn't played since October. Plays a different position than Godwin. Isn't the big receiver that Godwin and Evans are. You get Perriman back, and that's not even a sure thing, because he's still under COVID, the reserve COVID list. He has a chance if he's asymptomatic and can have, two negative tests with 24 hours apart, but not guaranteed. If he goes the full 10 days, he won't be back. And so, they're still a long way from being out of the woods. I know they play at Carolina You know, Leonard Fournette, it doesn't look like he's going to. You know, we talked to Bruce Arians, who said this is now Rojo's show, which is pretty daunting, but he has a hamstring pull, and those take weeks and weeks sometimes to work themselves out. It's a darker day than I think people realize after Sunday night's loss. It really is.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
So speaking of Brown, if you ever wondered why Bruce Arians, you know, when AB was signed a couple years ago, said that there's a zero tolerance policy, one more strike and he knows he's gone, and seemingly, I don't know, maybe using fake vaccination cards and getting suspended for 3 games might be that strike. Well, turns out that Bruce Arians may not be the umpire, as the case may be. It might be Tom Brady calling balls and strikes behind the plate, because Antonio Brown is definitely coming back. And one thing I'll say about Bruce Arians is it doesn't seem like he gives any pause to what the rest of the public may think about his decision or whoever's decision it was, because he was asked, you know, what do you worry? And I've gotten a ton of these emails and text messages about Arians going back on his word. And there are a lot of people that are upset about that. You know, they thought, well, this is a guy who's been a man of his word. You know, he doesn't mince words. And, you know, certainly he would stick by what he said a couple of years ago. But when he was asked, you know, about the public perception over his decision, he said, I could give a blank what people think. The only thing I care about is this football team and what's best for us. So have at it, folks, if you want to criticize, you know, Bruce Arians, but he really doesn't care. And furthermore, if he did care, I'm not sure he could do a lot about it. And on top of that, they've got no receivers. So Antonio Brown, you know, coming off the couch or the gym or wherever he's been the last few weeks trying to get that ankle ready, is sort of a godsend for them, to be honest with you.
Yeah, they desperately need him going forward this week and on. Without Chris Godwin, we saw how Jalen Darden, Tyler Johnson, Scotty Miller didn't really provide a lot in that Sunday night game against the Saints. You got to have someone opposite Mike Evans. And Antonio Brown can be that threat to open up the field more for Evans, for Gronk, for the running backs out of the backfield, all that. Is you've got to have another guy there. And they desperately need him now.
They need him. They need him. They're going to get him. Unfortunately, they didn't get anything from anyone else. And I asked Bruce Arians this question, and you know, and I know what he's saying. You know, this is professional football, right? And you prepare yourself to play. You prepare yourself for when your opportunity comes. Everybody in football, professional or really youth on up, they get their job in one of two ways, right? The guy in front of you gets hurt, or the guy in front of you isn't productive, isn't doing the job. And so they're going to turn to you at some point and say, Stroud, get in there, okay? And you have to be ready to perform at all times, because your audition or your opportunity may last a play. It may last a series. It may last a game. You don't know how long it's going to last, but you better be ready to play. And that's whether you've had a lot of reps in practice, no reps in practice. It doesn't really matter. No one cares. They're not going to, you know, lean into that excuse. But I will say this, more so than even last year, and maybe it's just because, you know, they stay fairly healthy on the receiving position until now. You have not seen a lot of players on the field for the Bucs on offense. You've seen the same guys, right? For the most part, it's been Mike and Chris Godwin. It's been Gronkowski when he's healthy. It's been Leonard Fournette. And, you know, it's noticeable if Ronald Jones gets a carry or two carries or does anything in a game. It's noticeable if O.J. Howard even gets on the field. It's noticeable if Cam Brate makes a catch. In one game, he had a catch, and it was his only catch was a touchdown. And Scotty Miller hasn't been able to get a uniform until Breshad Perriman went on the COVID list, and they made him active the other day. These are guys that made Tyler Johnson as well. You know, Tyler Johnson has been kind of, you know, their fourth receiver, their fifth receiver, and he's moved up the pegs a little bit with these injuries. But even he doesn't make a ton of plays. All of them made huge plays in 2020. I mean, I can cite them, you know, each one with plays that if they didn't make them, the Bucs don't go to, much less win a Super Bowl. And we know which ones they are. You know, the third down catch in New Orleans where, you know, they're going to probably lose that game if they don't start getting something going on offense after the turnover, Scotty Miller's, you know, touchdown before halftime in Green Bay. And Miller had a lot of big plays. Miller was leading the team in receiving a year ago, eight games halfway through the year until what? Antonio Brown showed up. Okay. So Scotty Miller was the dude. Like he was, you know, he was Brady's guy. He had all kinds of chemistry with him. But for whatever reason, this year they've settled on these four or five playmakers, and the rest of the guys, they don't see the field very much. And not only do they not see the field very much, I can assure you that they're not seeing the practice field very much because the starters get the bulk of most of the reps. And I think what we saw the other night when they had to turn to those guys was a bunch of players that Tom had no rhythm with, you know, because he hasn't – it's been a year since he's had to utilize these guys. And, you know, I asked Bruce Arians about it. He goes, well, you know, it didn't hurt Ronald Jones. You know, you've got to be ready. And Ronald did a good job of blocking and catching the football, and he had some big runs. Yeah, that's true. I think it's a little bit easier for a running back because it's more of an instinctive position. You know which way the play is going. You know where the hole's supposed to be. You know, the route running and stuff is something that Jones has worked on, and I commend him for that. And he did catch the ball, which was great. The other guys, though, they look like a bunch of guys that hadn't played with Tom Brady. I mean, that's what they look like. Like they were just starting over again. Now, this week in practice, when they get the reps, that'll certainly help. So, you know, I think that all of that is important, but they've got to reacclimate themselves to Tom Brady and see if they can make enough plays because they certainly didn't make any plays after they had those injuries. And let's face it, the Bucs never got inside the 20. Can you imagine that? They never made it inside the 20-yard line the entire game against the New Orleans Saints. So it didn't seem to matter who was on the field, and Chris Godwin played until 12 and a half minutes left in the first half, and, you know, Mike Evans went out after that. But, like, even before that, the Bucs weren't really threatening to score. They tried the 45-yard field goal they missed. So, you know, it didn't seem to matter who was out there. One more item on Antonio Brown. He has reached a settlement with his former live-in chef, Stephen Ruiz of L.A., of Taste That L.A., his business out there. The terms were not disclosed. Ruiz confirmed that they did have a settlement, however. And, you know, I don't want to say, because I don't know, that this was a condition or one of the conditions of Brown's return. But it would seem obvious, right? It would seem as if what we do know is the team checked with the Hillsborough County Sheriff's Department to see if Brown was in fact, possibly going to face charges or be arrested. And at least for that jurisdiction, the answer was no. And it makes sense that somebody would have leaned on Brown or at least said, you know, who knows what else this chef, what other trouble he could get you into. If it's true that you owe him money or, you know, he thinks you owe him money, you'd probably be best to settle this before you come back to this team. And that's exactly what he has done. So, again, no terms. We don't know, you know, what he paid him, how much he paid him, or you know, whether it settled. But it did settle the dispute in as much as that part of the situation is over. And just wanted to mention that because you can read about that in the Tampa Bay Times and on Tampa Bay. .com as well. Little Pro Bowl news. They've sort of gotten ahead of everybody with respect to the fan voting is done, but then the players and the coaches have to do their part. But the NFL announced that they leaked out a couple names of guys who have made the Pro Bowl. That would include one Tom Brady, who got the most votes of any quarterback. in the NFL, and he is going to, is this right, Steve? I think his 15th Pro Bowl?
That's a record, 15th Pro Bowl. And despite scoring no points on Sunday night, he still leads the league in passing yards and touchdowns.
Incredible, right? Only the third time in his career, I believe, he's been shut out. None since like 2006, 2007, somewhere in there. But he's having undeniably a great year. I love these NFL shows. You know, I watch these things to see perspective that other people have on the various teams and the Bucks. And it's so funny to me, like how quickly it's week to week, but, you know, there's all this MVP talk. And it's funny to me how quickly, you know, 1 week it's this guy, 1 week it's that guy. Brady was probably running away with it. You know, if you were making a bet in Las Vegas, you get really poor odds if you wanted to make money, because Brady was a substantial leader in that category. Now, all of a sudden, it seems to be kind of a two-man race between Aaron Rodgers, who won it last year and just, you know, escaped Baltimore with a one-point win, 31-30, because they went for two and didn't get it. And Jonathan Taylor with the Indianapolis Colts, who's having an amazing year and is a terrific player. The Colts, however, may not win that division, and they're probably going to be a wild card. So, you know, do I think either of those guys are having a better year than Brady? Well, the numbers wouldn't tell you that. And we know that Rodgers missed the game because of his vaccination status or whatnot, and they wound up losing handily to it. So I don't know. I still think Brady's in this. You know, a couple good games down the stretch, leading the league in passing and touchdowns and all that might make people reconsider.
But isn't timing everything? Because
absolutely,
Aaron Rodgers is in the MVP consideration.
Mm-hmm.
And think back to the first game of the season and what an awful game he had.
Yeah.
Against, yeah, what, the Saints?
The Saints. He was terrible.
In,
yeah,
in Jacksonville. Awful game. And it was like, you know, does he even want to play?
Yeah.
You know, after the off season, he doesn't even want to be there.
And players don't like him. They're not playing hard around him.
But
you
he's
know,
in the MVP conversation. Tom Brady, because his last game was a bad game.
Mm-hmm.
Now all of a sudden, oh, he's not MVP.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's amazing how recency bias affects all this stuff.
It's everything. Timing is everything in life. I know I've had none of it. So I can promise you that the breaks are all about timing for sure. And right now it's on Rodgers' side. But who knows what it'll be 2 weeks from now. You know, Rodgers could go out there against Minnesota, throw three or four interceptions. They get upset by the Vikings. I don't think this is going to happen, but if it did, or he hurts his foot. You know, his foot is damaged. He's been limping around. What if he misses two or three more games, you know, and comes back in the postseason and loses? I mean, I you just can't predict. It is a week-to-week league. That's the one thing that I've learned covering this thing, which is what's so terrifying for players about the 17th game, because it's one that they've never had to play before, right? What if, and this could happen, okay, but what if Chris Godwin had suffered a season-ending injury in week 17, you know, a game that they normally would not have played? And that could happen to any number. It could happen to Brady, you know. It's just, it's really, the assassins in this league are injuries. And you just don't know what corner they're sitting around. You just don't. You know, it's Chris Godwin today, it's somebody else tomorrow. And a year ago, they had a ton of luck. They didn't have that catastrophic loss other than, say, Vita Vea. And even Vea made it back, you know, and made it back at the perfect time. Talk about timing. They go to Green Bay. He plays 33 snaps. He records no stats, but he plays on passing downs, and he absolutely pushes the pocket into Rodgers' lap, and JPP and Shaq end up with 5 sacks. So timing is everything. You know, you've got to have breaks. You've got to have some luck. And right now, luck is not on the Bucs' side. Lady Luck has gone home with someone else. So that's just the way it goes. So the Tampa Bay Lightning are finally back in action. Some good news on Braden Point, I understand.
Well, first of all, we hope they're back in action. There was 10 games on the schedule for tonight in the mm-hmm. NHL. There's only 2 remaining on the schedule at this point.
Oh, goodness.
The Lightning versus the Golden Knights is one of the games on the schedule. So presumably they are going to play tonight. And Braden Point at practice on Monday. in a no longer wearing the red no contact jersey, which John Cooper had said, after Christmas, we can put him in the day-to-day category. So presumably next week or the week after, he should be back.
Yeah, I mean, that is enormous for a team that, you know, has or had the best record in hockey despite all these injuries, despite their leading scorer and, you know, an MVP candidate in Nikita Kucherov. And Braden Point is just phenomenal. Does so much for that hockey team. So getting healthy around Christmas time, that's a nice present, man. That's pretty good.
You'll take, even if it's a couple days after Christmas, you'll take that Christmas present.
Sure, absolutely. You know how it is. You get a present on Christmas, you take it back, you get what you want. Well, Braden Point is what they want. So if it's a couple days, it doesn't matter. It'll be just fine. So,
well, and we hope that the Lightning are playing after Christmas at this point. I mean, the first game back afterwards is the Montreal Canadiens at home. The Canadiens are currently shut down till at least Christmas.
Mm-hmm.
And through Christmas, there's a no cross the border rule in the NHL right now. So if they extend that, then Montreal will not be able to come down here on Tuesday, presumably. And that game could be postponed. Then after that, you're at Florida. You got the Rangers at home. And that gets you to New Year's Eve. So, but the NHL is canceling lots of games, or postponing, I shouldn't say, not canceling, postponing games, a lot of them. Olympics look like the players are not going to be going to the Olympics as we record this. It's possible news comes out after we record this, but most likely they won't, as they're going to need the three-week window to make up games, and also the COVID protocols and all that aren't going to allow that. So,
well, it's great news for the Lightning and obviously, you know, for Braden. So, you know, I this Canada thing, the problem hockey has that the NFL doesn't undergo is that you're talking about two nations, right? It's hard enough in a league with a union and the owners to try to come together on these protocols and things like that. But you can't move what the national rules are in Canada versus the United States. You know, there are certain laws and federal laws and different things that allow with immigration and allowing people to cross the border and whatnot under this pandemic that you just can't change. And that's why last year they went to a league that did not include, you know, traveling across the border, you know, until of course they went, or, you know, that one year, it was actually, yeah, it was last season when they went to those divisions. But so this is all different, and they may have to change some things on the fly schedule wise, and who knows what, you know, this particular variant is going to do to sports in general, you know, all sports. I mean, I'm sitting here as we're doing this podcast, the Cleveland Browns are playing at 5:00 on a Monday. There's a Monday doubleheader. I think there's a game on Tuesday.
Two of them.
Hell, there might be one on Wednesday.
No, there's two on Tuesday.
Two on Tuesday. Yeah. And if you're, you know, if you're one of these teams like Philadelphia that had nothing wrong with no major COVID cases that would prevent them from playing, they've got to play on Tuesday and then again on Saturday, you know, and they did nothing wrong. Not that these other teams did anything wrong, but like they're essentially, you know, being given a hardship because of breakouts with some other teams. So it's a new world order, man. They're all just trying to figure this out on the sly and protect their brand and protect their business model and keep people in the stands, you know, which seems to be the most important thing. And television obviously drives everything. So it's been difficult. And, you know, you got a Cleveland team that's down to his third quarterback, you know, that hasn't played all year. So remember a year ago, you know, Denver had no quarterback at all, didn't have a guy who had played the position, and they made them play because the quarterbacks had taken off, you know, their locators and things like that, and it had broken some protocols, and they all got whacked, and they weren't able to go. So it's just, you know, we want our lives back. We want sports back the way it used to be. We hope that just, you know, society in general, we can beat this thing somehow and get back to normal. But our jobs have changed as well. Like in the NFL, we had been doing interviews after the games in media rooms, sitting sort of socially distanced, but with, you know, with masks. And then, you know, starting after this new variant, they've got us back in the press box doing Zoom calls. and I presume we'll do Zoom calls with the Bucks all week long, which, you know, is requires us to run down, watch practice, run back someplace, either in the trailer or back to our homes and set up and try to conduct interviews on Zoom, which is just not the same thing. It doesn't allow for spontaneity and you know, sort of line of questioning. Of course, I prefer to go back in the locker rooms in general, but, you know, failing that, it was certainly a lot more relaxed and personal than on these Zooms. So we're back in that situation now. So they're all just trying to figure this out. But yeah, it's complicated, man. It's complicated with the NHL. All right, so one of our more popular segments, and I've already got some questions. We're going to do our mailbag tomorrow, and it's very easy to submit your questions to us. You can do that on Twitter, at SportsDayTV. You can reach me on Twitter, at NFLStroud. My email address is rstroud@tampabay.com. We will read your questions, we will give you credit for them, and we will answer them 100% correctly, or your money back guaranteed. No one pays for this podcast, right, by the way? I just want to make sure before I say that.
That's correct.
We actually don't owe people money. That would
but
be.
If you'd like to contribute, no.
Absolutely. Yeah, you can also send your checks to any of those addresses that you find in our emails. Mailbag tomorrow. Of course, we'll be back out at the Bucks on Wednesday. They're preparing for Carolina. They have the Panthers twice in the next 3 weeks. This game is a day after Christmas. Wait a minute. Is it Christmas already? Is that this week?
Yeah, that's
Holy
correct.
Holy cow. Wow, Santa's coming. I better get ready for him and bake some cookies or something.
You got four days.
Yeah. For shopping? What's that? Honey, what would you like? So, yeah, they don't give me the memo. I forget it's Christmas, but we'll be wishing all of you. Let me be the first to wish you a Merry Christmas and, for that matter, Happy Valentine's Day in case I don't get to it. So, but, yeah, have a good one. But listen to us. Every day, right here on Sports Day Tampa Bay, myself, Steve Bursnick. For Steve, I am Rick Stroud of the Tampa Bay Times. Have a great day, everybody.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.